You're listening to an audio message from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, visit our website at harvestgranger.org.
2 Peter chapter 1, I'm so thrilled to be preaching out of the book of Peter. Peter's an interesting character in the gospel. First to be called, him and his brother Andrew. He's on the inner circle of Jesus Christ. It was Peter, James, and John. Peter, who we're talking about today, or who we're going to hear from today, this is a guy that personally witnessed nearly everything that Christ did in his ministry. That should perk up your ears. We're talking about Peter. And as an interesting character, he's the guy that goes after Jesus. He rebukes Jesus, is rebuked by Jesus, walks on water, denies him three times. And he's that guy, right? You've heard messages about Peter, but all of that is shown to us because we see such a great change in Peter. In the book of Acts, what do we see with Peter? We see bold readiness and sure. So I'm excited to be here in the book of Peter with you. And I would just ask, are we living ready? Are we living sure? And that God is going to give us a plan. He has a plan for us in order to do that. Raise your hand if you know that God has a plan for your life. All right. You can put your hands down. Maybe I should have done it the other way. Raise your hand if you don't know. Everybody's got their hands up. We understand that God has a plan for our lives. And I could say that. I understand that God has a plan for my life. So what happens is that many times when the plan is laid out for us, we struggle in following it. Raise your hand if you've ever struggled in following it. All right. So I'm going to tell you a funny story. I hope it's funny. Most of you know that I served in Afghanistan for 22 months and I flew a Russian helicopter. So I'm over there flying a Russian helicopter. Well, in order to fly that helicopter, I had to go to the nation of Ukraine to learn how to fly that. And I was there for 5 or 6 weeks, and the training was not in Kiev, but I spent several days in Kiev. So this is just kind of a lighthearted look at how we mess up plans. So I'm getting ready to go to Afghanistan and see my new boss, and I want to get my hair cut. So I go down to the concierge, and it's a female, and she speaks no English, and I'm trying to communicate with this. It wasn't different. It looked about like this. I'm trying to communicate that I want a haircut, and she points to a barber shop inside the hotel. And I kind of look at the barber. So that's my plan that was laid out before me. That was the plan. And I look at the barber shop, and I'm like, no, I don't want to go to it. I don't know why I didn't want to go to it, but I didn't know. It was kind of a weird-looking barber shop anyway, so I'm like, no, I need this, I need this. So she gets out. This is no joke, true story. She gets out a piece of paper, and she writes the hotel, and she starts writing a map. And I'm in Kiev, and I'm bebopping along, and I'm following the map, and I get to this one, and I turn. None of it's in English. I'm just kind of going by block, and I come up on this, like a row house, but maybe 4 or 5 levels, no signs whatsoever, and a door, brick front. And I'm like, all right. So I go in. Nothing but a broken elevator and a stairway. No signs, no nothing. Not that I could have read them anyway. So I start walking up the stairs, and as I'm going up the stairs, I hear doom, 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 doom. And I get up about 2 flights, and there's a lady standing there with a clipboard. She's got like a bobbed haircut, and she's in this outfit, and she's like, come on in. And I can't even say no. I'm just following. Next thing I know, I'm sitting down. I walk through this thing. I see ladies jazzercising, and I'm sitting down having coffee. And I'm like, oh, do I just get up and leave? This is not where I want to be at all. So about 5 minutes later, she walks in and pulls me in, sits me down, and she starts washing my hair. Now I'm getting my hair washed, and I'm like, oh, Lord. Okay, it gets better. She takes me from the hair wash, the thing's on my head, I'm walking by all the jazzercise and the exercise, sits me down in a room, it's a high ceiling, windows out overlooking the city, and there's about 6 ladies in there with 6 ladies in their chair, and they're dressed in like boots that go up to here, skimpy stuff, colored hair, and I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm not kidding, every woman in that room was looking at my head. Every one of them. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? She's doing this for about a half an hour, and I mean, literally wasn't touching my head, shaving on the back just a little bit, she's doing this, and I start thinking, this is like the capital of a nation. This is probably going to be pricey. They use grivna over there, and I had some grivna in my pocket, but I gave my Visa card, found out later the haircut was $60, and most expensive haircut I've ever had. So I had a plan laid out for me, very simple, easy to follow. But in my stubbornness and in my sinful nature, I'm just like, I'm going to make my own way. And anyway, so God's got a plan for us. And we're going to look at his plan and just be thinking about that sometimes, how we're drawn into not following the plan that's before us. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let's look at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I must have read these verses 100+ times this week. And so many times I got caught on those first three words. I'm not even going to continue. I was going to read verse 4. His divine power. His divine power. I cannot overstate that. Of all the things that have ever been written outside of this book, of all the thoughts and philosophies of man, of all the kingdoms and the powers and the nations and the rulers and authorities that you could ever imagine outside of this book, there has only been one divine power. Now, many would say the contrary to that, but there's only been ever one, and there will only ever be one. We are talking about a plan that is coming from the divine power of God. Hopefully, our ears are now perked up. Think about this. This is just, I'm being real. You know I'm real, right? Think about a person that you would love to hear from maybe in past history or current history. Maybe like a Harry Truman, Ronald Reagan. If I could get them in this room, would you love to hear from who? Lou Holtz? Sports figure? Somebody would you love? Somebody. Somebody yelled out Kennedy. How about this? What if we brought, maybe you don't like this person, maybe some of you do, but just think about the reality of this. What if we brought in here Oprah Winfrey to speak to us about life? Would the front row be empty? No, it would not be empty. Would people be showing up late? No. Would there be a spot in the parking lot? No. People come to hear Oprah Winfrey. Fact. She holds no power. Every single week, we proclaim the power of God in this word. Is that not amazing? We got to get our perspective right because of this plan that he's about to lay out for us. Okay, so let's continue. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What is life and godliness? Life and godliness is basically how a Christian should live. It's what God wants us to be like. He's giving us all things. How many things did he give us? Some things or certain things or a few things? Or did he give us all things? He gave us all things. So you might say, well, I don't feel like I have access to all things. I feel like I have access to some things maybe. Maybe I've seen Christ operate in some areas of my life, but not certainly all things. I am sure that I don't have access to all things. God has given us all things. I'm about to tell you why. Look at the rest of verse 3. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. The first part in God's plan is knowing that the power for this comes through Jesus Christ. It's Christ's power that gives us the ability to say, I have access to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness comes through a knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has called us to his own glory and excellence. And if you're that person that says, I don't think I have access to it, let me tell you something. Yes, you do. There is no sin, there is no place you've been, no event that's happened in your life that is separate or apart from the ability of Christ's power to overcome that in your life. There is no place you can go. So you do have access to all things that pertain to life and godliness. You absolutely do. You are not beyond the power of Jesus Christ. We'll continue. We have to understand that the power of Christ is made perfect in our weaknesses. So we may not feel it, but the power of Christ is made perfect in our weaknesses. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So praise God for that, that he didn't leave us hanging and actually says, I know you're weak and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Amen? The second part of God's plan is it's Christ's promises. Look back at the text. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That word by which there, for those of you that are got the ESV, it might be as a result of, through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. As a result of this, he has granted to us, he has given to us what? Promises? Or has he given us great promises? Or has he given us very great promises? Or has he given us precious and very great promises? God's talking about something awesome right here. He's talking about his precious and very great promises that come from our understanding and knowledge of the power of Jesus Christ in our life. The power comes from Christ. His power is made perfect in our weaknesses. And then he gives us promises. But it calls us to understand, to become partakers in this divine nature. What is divine nature? Divine nature is an attribute of, it is a characteristic of, or an action that is like God. What? I was hoping for a couple like, wow, God wants us to be like him. Is that not amazing? It's absolutely amazing that he gives us the power, even in our weaknesses, he gives us power. And he says, I want you to be like, look back at the verse, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers in the divine nature. That is so amazing. The third part of God's plan is our freedom. Finishing verse 4 there, it says, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We know that we live in a world where sinful desire is lurking and sometimes winning, and we're in that. We're in a world of corruption. This isn't talking about escaping from the fact that we're going to be in that place as long as we're here on earth. This is talking about escaping eternity away from Christ. Escaping eternity, from going to heaven versus going to hell. As long as we're here, it's going to be a battle. Say amen if you know it's a battle. Amen. I've got some assurance for you that one day we're going to be like Christ and we're not going to have to battle anymore. Isn't that a good thing? Let's look at what Paul said to the Philippians, one of my favorite verses. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will one day transform our lowly bodies to be what? To be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. I love that. It's his own power that he subjects all things to himself. It's not somebody else's power. Praise God. So it's God's plan through Christ's power, through Christ's promises, that results in our freedom. That's pretty heavy. And I would say this, that if you've never understood what I just said, through the power of Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ, that result in your freedom, that my prayer is even now, as these truths are spoken out loud, God would be stirring in your heart to truly, truly understand the intensity behind this. So that's God's plan. Okay, so God has a plan, Christ's power, Christ promises our freedom. What's our part in the plan? We're going to continue on with what's our part. Let's look at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Let's go back to the beginning of verse 5 where it says, make every effort. For this very reason, what we had just talked about, God's part of the plan, for this very reason, make every effort. And I had some fun studying those three words this week. They come with an intensity, an urgency, a high energy, a make this happen right now. For this very reason, make this happen right now. And then it goes on to say, supplement your faith. Okay, so think about building a building. Do the walls go up first? Then the roof? What goes up first? Foundation, thank you. So for today, And the purposes of this list and this process and our part of the plan, and for the rest of our lives, we have to understand that the foundation is faith. Okay? For this very reason, make every effort, be intense about supplementing your faith. So I want to talk about supplements real quick. What's a supplement? So think about a bodybuilder. You have nutrients in your body, right? Diet. And then the nutrients and the proteins, they do what? They build muscle until you put your muscles under an increased demand. And then you need what? To supplement your nutrients and protein. Okay, so we have a faith, but God is calling us to live sure. God is calling us to live ready. So we need to take the supplements that he's providing us, and he uses the word there. I'm so thankful that the word is very, very clear. Another way of saying supplement is add to. Start with the foundation of faith and add to and supplement your faith. So we're going to go through this list, the seven supplements to your faith. And the first one is virtue. Virtue. What is virtue? It's a moral excellence. Virtue is a moral courage. It's like a moral compass. Okay, so we're talking about these seven supplements to faith. And the very first thing that is added to our faith is a moral compass. How many people in our world today don't like to be told right from wrong? How many people in our world today don't like to be held accountable? Okay, and that comes from a lot of people just having an off moral courage, moral excellence, moral compass. And they go in places that they don't, that they shouldn't go. So the first of the seven is virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And then it says, and add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge, head knowledge and heart knowledge, is indispensable in the Christian life. Okay? Indispensable. We have to have knowledge. But I want to caution us. If you get knowledge before you get virtue, the moral compass, the moral steering, what you get is Bible fatheads who aren't willing to sit down with people and even talk because of minor differences in theology. And it wrecks the church. Get away from me because you think that. Get away from me because we got a major on the majors and we got a minor on the minors. That's why it's imperative that we follow this list in a very specific order. Add to your faith first virtue, then add knowledge. Not the other way around, okay? Virtue, knowledge. The third thing is self-control. He's going to hammer on self-control. Yeah, I am, because God's word says I can. And what is it about self-control? Is it profanity outside of this building? God forbid in this building. But is it profanity in your workplace? Do you have another way of living and you just simply don't control? You don't even try to control it possibly, but are you not able to control it? What about this? Lust. Whether it's your phone, whether it's just walking down the street, whether it's a lady at work, whatever it is, it could go the other way, ladies for guys. Listen, there's sin in our lives. And the question here about self-control that we're supposed to add to our faith is this. When that sin comes a-calling, bring. There it is again. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. What am I going to do? Do you answer the phone? Or do you have a system of accountability? Because I'm telling you, if you don't have a system of accountability, it's going to be real hard to not answer that phone. Okay? So we have to have self-control, virtue, knowledge, the seven supplements to our faith, self-control, and the fourth one is steadfastness. This is perseverance. Remember when I said God wants us to be like him? Okay, he wants us to be like him. And he uses something in order to make us more like him. You know what it is? Trials. He uses trials in our life. Let's look at Christ's half-brother James, what he said about being steadfast. He said, "For you know that the testing of your faith," this is out of James 1, "the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing." Do you see how that relates to our faith? We start with a foundation of faith. God wants us to get this moral compass right. Then he wants us to add knowledge. Self-control you got to have in the trials that are coming. You got to persevere. You got to stay strong because it's going to make us complete and lacking nothing in the day of Christ. The fifth thing is godliness. Godliness. In order to be godly, I must stop sinning. True? No, it's not true. There's no way we're going to stop sinning. What is godliness? God tells us to add godliness to our faith. And I call it a fasted lifestyle. I like saying it's a fasted lifestyle. It's a lifestyle where I give things up. But another way of saying it is a devoted lifestyle. I'm not just running around. I live very devoted to God. I'm not saying that about me, although I try to do my best. I'm saying, but that's what we should be thinking. Am I devoted to the Lord Jesus while I'm here? In my prayer life? In my gentleness to my family members? Am I devoted in my Bible study time? Do I have a godliness in my life? Am I humble towards other men? Or do I find that most of my relationships are kind of friction? That might be a lack of godliness in your life. You know that thing that we had that was, what would Jesus do? It was like a wristband or whatever. It was out there forever. What would Jesus do? I mean, honestly, if Christ was in his physical glorified body walking next to us, would we not live a very godly life? Well, he's inside of us. So it's every day, every moment, every second of every day, it's what would Jesus do? Because he's with us and he's inside of us. So it's godliness. The sixth thing is brotherly affection. I had some fun with that word this week. It's the Greek word Philadelphia. That means to love your brother, right? The sincerely of brotherly love. Love your brother. Why is it so important that we love our brother? Why is that something that we add to our faith? Loving our brother. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said to do it. Look at John 13:35. I love when Christ is real clear. Why do you want me to love my brother? Oh, Jesus said that. Okay, well, I'll do it then. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, by loving one another, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. It's a great thing that Christ gives us that clarity. Add to your faith a brotherly affection. And finally, of the seven supplements to our faith is love. This is a different kind of love. I mentioned it the last time I was in here, and maybe many of you have heard of this word, but it's the agape love. And I looked up definition after definition after definition of what agape love, and I'm just going to give you what my definition of agape love is, and that is loving someone because I know how much God loves them and expecting nothing in return. It's when we say at the end of each church service here, you are loved. That's not you are loved if. That's not you are loved if you come to church every week. It is because of God working in my heart, you are loved. And God wants us to be like that. A brotherly affection to people, but he wants us to genuinely love his people. And you know what? If you love Jesus Christ and you've got a thing, a real thing going with the Lord, and then I walk up on my brother who's got a real thing going with the Lord, I should see Christ in him and that draw him to me in a very unique way. So that's the agape love. Listen, a key to understanding this list, the seven supplements to your faith, is that they need to be in order, okay? And I'm going to go into that in a minute. But if you're working on one thing and not the other, and then working on, it's not going to work out. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Seven supplements to your faith. So it's our part is what? We were supposed to move quickly. That urgency we talked about. We were supposed to move quickly. We're supposed to follow his process. That's what we just covered, the process. Let's look at verse 8. After the process, we have to understand that God's word says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. The next step in our part of the plan, move quickly, and then we follow his process, is we need to evaluate our effectiveness. We need to evaluate our effectiveness. These verses are calling us to evaluate whether or not we follow the process. Let's look at it. Verse 8. Everybody look at God's word. It says, for if these qualities. I wish those were capitalized. If. That indicates that it's very possible that they're not. Because it's an if. Every word matters, right? If these qualities are yours. And are what? Increasing. So they're yours, but they should be increasing. Then they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way to say that is if they are increasing and if they're there and they're increasing, then you will be effective and fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what it looks like. God wants us to become partakers in the divine nature. He wants us to be like him through the power of Christ and through the promises of Jesus Christ, which, when we partake in the divine nature, produce these qualities. Thank goodness for the Lord not leaving us there. So as partakers in the divine nature, producing in us are these qualities. And the qualities are increasing by following this process that I just laid out. And what is the result? Effective and fruitful living, which is another way of saying live ready. Living ready is being effective and fruitful. Let's look at verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So if you lack these qualities, you've become blind. I kind of want to illustrate this in a lighthearted way. Dave, would you come up here real quick? Real fast. So, I used to fly a lot, and I got used to wearing these on the airplane, and now I can't get rid of them. I love these things. You ever seen one of these? Okay. That's not the response I wanted. Everyone's apparently not. No one's seen one of these. I'm going to put this on you, my friend. Wait. Okay, I'm going to get it on you. Hey, how's that go? All right. So how's that look? Well, let me ask you. You can see. Straighten that out. I don't want you to be able to see. Okay, so let me ask you a question. This is Dave Wintek. Do you know where you were sitting right now in your mind? Can you see where you were sitting? Over there. Why don't you come over here for a second? Just come over here. I want to put you right over here. I'm sorry. Okay, so you remember where you're sitting, though. That didn't confuse you. The event that just happened in your life did not confuse you. You know where you were sitting, right? Go ahead. Just have a seat then. Just go ahead and sit. I really need to continue. I'm just kidding. Okay. You can take that off. Thanks. Let's give it up for Dave. So, a lighthearted look at being blind, but there's a seriousness to it that I want to share with you. Why do we evaluate? Why are we supposed to evaluate our effectiveness in these verses? Because Christ says, if these qualities are yours, and they are increasing. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten where he came from. The reality is that many of us have been going to church for so long. If you do a serious and honest evaluation of these qualities and whether or not they've been increasing in your life, you may find that you've been blinded to the fact that you have not been increasing in that quality at all. You might find, if you do a serious evaluation, that that quality does not exist in your life. It's easy for us to slip into it. I'm talking to church people here, because we go to church, and we lead small groups, and we do this, and we do that, and we do all these other things. And the next thing you know, you're like, wow, that says I'm supposed to have self-control. I'm not doing very well at that. So if you look back over the 12 months of your life, I want everybody to just kind of think. If you look back over the 12 months of your life and those 7 supplements to your faith, they're up there on the screen. That's good. Look at those. Just think for a minute. Have I seen that quality? 2, Do I see it increasing? I'm giving you time to think about it, because this is coming from his divine power. This is a serious evaluation that we have to make. In order to live ready, we have to make a serious evaluation. I'm not in a hurry. We only have one service. Listen, I'm going to read one of my favorite scriptures. I think every scripture is my favorite scripture. That's what I'm finding out. One of my favorite scriptures from Philippians 2:12. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." If you look at these qualities and you don't see an increase, or God forbid, you don't even see that quality, fear and trembling is the work that's before you. We need to get serious with God, because he says, not only is my presence, but much more in my absence. We're not just doing this on Sunday morning when we've got our brothers to hold us in account just in the way we behave. Okay, so much more in our absence, much more during the week, do we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You understand? Okay, are you doing that? Are you working out your own salvation? And I'm being intentionally heavy, but I want to ask you a question. If today, remember last week Trent said, if I get through the first point, if I get through the second point, man, I got all the way through the third point, Christ could come back at any time. If today was the day that Jesus Christ came back, and it very well could be, if today was our judgment day, how would you be evaluated on these qualities? How ready are you? And then the follow-up question that I would ask to that is, if today was judgment day, would the evidence show that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? There may be people in this room right now that don't see themselves in any of these qualities. Christ comes back right now. Is there going to be anything that points to the fact that you're following him? Let's look at verse 9 again together. "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind. God help us not be blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." May the Lord help us not ever, ever slip into a state of blindness that would allow us to forget our desperate need of a Savior. That's why it says fear and trembling. That's why there's urgency in this message. That's why this message is kind of leaving people, I don't know, because it's a desperation that we need a Savior. And it's not just here, but it's in our absence, not our absence like the church, but it's when you're on your own and you're doing your own thing. That's the time that our salvation really plays out. Look at verse 10. "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." The last point is that you need to make it yours. You need to make it yours. Our part of the deal is that we got to move quickly, folks. We got to follow this process. We got to evaluate our effectiveness, and then we need to make it our own. It says, be more diligent in making our calling and election sure. Be more diligent is that urgency again. It's that got to happen right now. Like, don't put this off. Today is the day. If we got to get this thing done, right? If anybody... and I'm not mad if you are. If anybody's been offended by something that I've said here today, like, get over that real fast. Because we got to be more diligent about making our calling and election sure. I'm not up here trying to offend. This is God's word for our lives. God wants us to be sure. Last week, Pastor Trent said that the elect are those that God has chosen to show grace. Those that have made themselves ready. Those that God has chosen to show grace, those that have made themselves ready. And I'm going to add to that, that the elect are those that persevere. Okay? The elect are those that persevere, and this is why. You don't like the color of the carpet. You don't like that the sidewalk wasn't done. You don't like what Pastor Matt said. You don't like this. And then you leave church, like, altogether. I'm just done with church. Every one I try is bad, so I'm leaving. Okay, we can't do that. We have to persevere in the trials. We have to persevere in living among the body of Christ. Okay, we don't have a bad meal and then stop eating. I'm done with it. This church is full of sinful people. So, they make us ready, and we got to stick to it. Verse 10 says, be all the more diligent to make your calling. For if you practice these things, if you practice these things. I love that. I love that it didn't say, if you are perfect in these things. Kind of like a doctor's office. It's a doctor's practice, right? I almost called one of the doctors in the church and said, hey, why do you call it a practice? But I'm sure it's because they're not perfect. Like a law practice, they're continually growing and growing and growing. I love the fact that God's word says, for if you practice these qualities, folks, we're not going to be perfect in all of them. He's calling us to understand that we need to move quickly and we need to see increase and we need to evaluate whether or not we're effective and practice the qualities. You will never fall. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. That's great. Is that going to keep me from falling into sin? No. Is it going to keep me from falling away? Practicing these qualities, is it going to keep me from falling away in my eternal salvation, in my eternal assurance? It will keep me from that. This is the live sure. This is the live sure. We got to live ready. God wants us to live sure. You might be asking, well, I don't see all these qualities in my life. You might be asking, I definitely don't see an increase in this one or that one. Does that mean I was saved and now I'm not because I don't see increase? What are you saying? Are you saying that I can lose my salvation? Like I'm really struggling in this quality or that quality? That's not the question. The question is not whether or not we can lose our salvation, okay? My answer to that question will be no, you cannot. The question in making your calling and election sure, if you're lacking in these qualities in a very unique way that you're struggling with right now, the question is, was the salvation ever real? How many people go to church for years and come to it 20, 25, 30 years down the road, even pastors, and find out that they never really had a thing going with God and with Christ as professing Him as their Savior? If you look at this list and you're like, I don't think I'm good in any of those, it's not about losing salvation. You've got to be real today with the Lord on whether or not this salvation thing is real for you, okay? I'm mad at you, Pastor Matt. I've been in the church for years, way before you were even born. How could you tell me to think about my own salvation? Is that what's happening right now? How dare him say that? Let me ask you a question, if that's you. Do you see these qualities in your life? Do you see these qualities increasing? Listen, you can't be sure about me, and I can't be sure about you. You need to be sure about your own thing with the Lord, okay? And evaluate these qualities and get yourself right with God. Don't be thinking about me, or we've already missed the whole thing. Okay. I'm getting close to finishing. So you practice these things. All right. Let's look at verse 11. So it's God's plan. And we had some parts in there. Christ's promises, Christ's power, Christ's promises that resulted in our freedom. That was God's part of the plan. And then our part of the plan was that we move quickly, we follow His process, we evaluate our effectiveness, and then we make it ours. Verse 11 says, for in this way there will be richly provided you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My hope is that every person is just honest with themselves today. Not your spouse. This isn't for somebody else. This is for you. And we're just honest. God's desire is that we're not only like Him, that's being ready in our lives, but that we're with Him in eternity. That's being sure. So today's about being sure. Let's make today the most important day of your life. Okay? Let's make today that day. My words don't mean a thing, but this is about God's word. So we're going to do something. I'd like everybody to just bow their heads. I'm going to talk to a few people. And I'm going to be real for a second. Because God took me to the mat this week. Because I did my own self-evaluation. So we're almost done. Don't be in a hurry. Not right now. I did my own self-evaluation. I'm going to be real with you. Some of you, there may be a person in here that this whole message was about salvation for you. About an initial confessing of the Lord. And the tragedy of that is that you've been coming to church for a long time and God's stirring in you right now. I don't want my fellow man to see that I'm a guy that has been playing the game and not really has professed the Lord. So it's a salvation message for somebody, because we got a lot of church folks here today because it's cold out. For others, it may not be about salvation. You think you've given your life to Christ, but because of evaluating these qualities, you're like, I'm not so sure. Maybe I'm not sure. Today's a day that you need to be revived and you need to be made sure. For others, today's message is about just the urgency. I haven't been diligent. I haven't been going hard after God. I've been apathetic in this whole thing. And I'm just going to tell you right now, that's me. That's me. I'm not afraid to tell you. Did that guy just talk about his own thing right in front of the whole church? You're daggone right I did. Because I'm not afraid to do it. Today is the day. I looked at these qualities and I thought, man, I'm not increasing. Do I have that? So, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bow before the Lord. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to get myself right with God. Mike is going to sing a song over us. And at the end of that song, we're going to dismiss and go about our lives. But I'm going to invite you to come down here and kneel at this altar if you want to. And just bring it all to God. If you want to stay in your chair, that's fine. But make it real today. I'm going to kneel because I need to get out of my comfort zone. I need to move my physical body. That's just how I am. It's more real to me. It's more real to my enemies and the way my brain works when I actually take a move. So I'm going to kneel here, and Mike is going to sing a song. Just wherever you are, whether you come or stay, let's take the next few moments and just be real with God about this.